What was the real reason for the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Was it because we were sinners and he had to bear the punishment of all of our sin? No, it wasn't that either. Well, what was the reason? Well, if you turn with me to 2 Corinthians, we were there just before. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay. And we're going to read verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Why not? Because we've vacated our body. So I'm not looking for somebody that looks like me or another person. No, I'm not looking for that. He says, though we have known Christ after the flesh, we don't know him that way anymore. Oh, is that true? Oh, Lord, I think you've got it wrong. Because the only Jesus Christ that we know is the one that walked on the earth 2,000 years ago. That's the only one we know, isn't it? Or do you know another one? No, there was only one. That's the only one that you could know. He walked on the earth. After the resurrection, I'm jumping ahead a bit here, but listen. After the resurrection, Mary looked into the tomb and there was nothing there and she's crying. And the two angels that were there, they said to her, "Lady, why are you crying?" And she said, "Because somebody has taken the body of my Lord and I don't know where he is and I love him." So she stepped out of the tomb and there was a man there she must have mistaken as the gardener. And she said to him, "Sir, if you have taken that body and you put it somewhere, would you please tell me, because I'd like to do something, you know, because he was very precious to me." And the man just looked at her and all he said was, "Maria." But she knew. She knew who it was. She did not know him because of what his face looked like. She didn't know him because he was about the right height of Jesus. No, sir. She knew him by his voice. And Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." We don't follow him because we read something in the Bible. We follow him because we're hearing his voice.
Amen.
We didn't just read the book. Come on, folks. I don't study the book to get my truth. I do not study the book to get this message this morning. I want to tell you, I've heard a voice.
Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And that voice is the voice of the Father.
Yes.
That's what I'm telling you today.
Yes.
Not what I picked up out of here with my intellect.
Yes.
We have a lot of preachers today. I've had some preachers say to me, "Have you got a good book that I can get, you know?" I said, "What, you want to come in short of sermons?" "Well, you know, I've got to keep up," he says. "No, I haven't got any good books. I gave books away. As a matter of fact, I had a library that covered one wall of the room many years ago. And I just let it be known that anybody who wanted a book could come and help themselves. If they wanted to give me a dollar for something, that's okay. If they didn't, just take the books anyway." Well, they came and I got rid of all my books except one. And that was a book on end time events. I just can't think of the man's name now, but it was a very popular book. It's been out of print for years now. And I had, this was the only book that I never, somebody didn't want. And I had a man ring me up and he said, have you got some books left? And I said, no. I said, did you want one? Oh, yes, he said, and it was this book that I had, you see. And he said, have you got one of them? I said, well, as a matter of fact, I do. It's the only book I've got left. Oh, he said, man, what do you want for that book? He said, it's out of print. I said, yes, I know that. He said, just tell me how much. I don't care what it is. He said, I want to buy it. I said, sir, if you've got the money to, for your fare to get out here to my place, you can pick this book up and you can walk out for nothing. And he came and he picked up that book and he hugged it to himself. Oh my God, I'd read that book. Years ago I thought it was wonderful too. Telling me all about, you know, that all the Christians are going to go up there to heaven and up to the clouds, and then God's going to turn, you know, is going to be chaos on the earth, and all the others that are not Christians are going to be all messed up or killed or whatever. Oh Lord, and it had a timeline and all these things and this and all in order. And I thought that was wonderful until God began. I heard a voice.
Amen.
I heard a voice and it changed me. And I've bought very few books since. As a matter of fact, I had some books given to me this time, and usually I go home with some extra books somebody gives me. So I take them and I just say thank you, you know. And I haven't got time to even read some of those books. Well, all of them, I haven't read any of them. Why? Because I think they're bad or wrong? No. Because I want to tell you that I've heard a voice that's better than any book you will ever buy in the shop. It's the voice of God. So Jesus Christ, how do we really know him? Mary knew that was Christ. So what did she do? She put out a hand to touch him. And he said, no. No. Why not? Didn't she want to touch him? Yes, I know she wanted to touch him. And you'd like, if you'd been there, you'd want to touch him too, wouldn't you? You'd have wanted to touch him. He said, no, sir. I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. Why didn't he let her to touch him? Because if she, Mary, had touched him at that point, her mind indelibly would have had a picture of a man, and that was Christ. And he's not a man today, as we understand a man, that's with a body like this. He is Christ. He is spirit. He has no form. No form at all. But if she had touched the man there, she'd have been thinking about Jesus. I want to challenge you today. Listen, how often have you sung about Jesus? And in your mind, there's a picture. That's Jesus. And that's who you're singing to. That's idolatry. That's idolatry. Because Christ is spirit, has no form. So you can't look at a face and say, that's Jesus Christ. So you're looking at Jesus Christ there on the cross, but he's got a body there. Why? Because he was taking you, and you've got a body, so he had to have a body to do that. He took you with him into death. What was the real reason for the cross? I'm going to tell you. It had nothing to do with sin. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a
what?
What is he?
A new creation.
What is he?
A new creation.
A new creation, a new creature.
Yes.
The old, what's happened to it?
Passed away.
Yes, it's gone. It's in the grave.
Yes.
And all that's left is a bunch of bones in there. That's the end of the body. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He's taking you where where you can get rid of your body. So it says here then, in verse 18, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the same ministry of reconciliation. And verse 19 is the key. Listen to this one. It says that God was in Christ. God was in Christ. So there's no difference between Christ and God. God was in Christ. What was he doing? Reconciling the world. Come on.
Yes.
The world unto himself. I want to tell you, I become very, very concerned when I listen to the churches preaching today. You give your heart to Jesus, you're going to go to heaven when you die. But if you don't, there's another place that God has out there. It's rather warm there, both winter and summer. You see, we've got these ideas in our head, in our mind. But God has reconciled all mankind. What does it mean to reconcile? Reconciliation is part of a process of keeping your books. You know, if you're in business, you've got to keep your books. And you have a debit side and you have a credit side. And these two have got to eventually agree. And the tax man down there is going to tell you how much he's going to take out of your credit, see? And all of these things. That's what reconciliation means. So what does it say here? He's reconciled ourselves to reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus and given us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Had nothing to do with sin. The cross had nothing to do with sin. Why? Because when Christ came into this world, that was the end of the law. Did you hear that? When Christ came into this world, it was the end of the law. Why was it the end of the law? Israel had that law for all those years. They were under that law of the Ten Commandments. But when Jesus Christ came, it was the end of the law. Why? You remember when Moses went up on the mountain and God gave him the law. And he wrote on those pieces of stone and he brought it down to Israel, who was at that time dancing around a golden calf. And so when he comes down there and he sees what's going on, he drops the stones and they break. They broke the law before they even received it.
Yeah.
So God said, Moses, I want you to come back up on the mountain. What, Lord, another 40 days of no food, no water? Yes, sir. So he went up on the mountain again, took two more pieces of stone, and God wrote it again. Are you listening? God said to Moses, don't give it to Israel. Don't give the stones to Israel. Why not, Lord? Well, you know what they did last time. I mean, they'd broken the law before you even gave them the stones. So you don't want me to give it to Israel? No. Well, what do I do with the stones? He said, I'll tell you what you do. You put it in the Ark of the Covenant. Those two stones, put them in there. What did the Ark of the Covenant represent? Christ. You see, when Christ came into this world, he fulfilled the law for everybody. Because when he went to the cross, he went to the cross as every person on the planet. Every person. So if he went to the cross as with every person within him, he took us all to the cross, then of course that means that we've all died in him. It says here, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Not imputing their trespasses. Not crediting us with any of the bad stuff that we've done. No. There's no law when Christ came. Paul tells us that in Romans. So now, we're looking into the face of Jesus Christ. But as we sit there and have a good look, and in the presence of the Almighty, as he causes the spirit within us to rise, I see the picture changing. That's Des Walter there on that cross. Why is that me there? Why do we all have to die? I'll tell you, because there's no life until there is a death. Because you today are mortal. And you've got to get rid of your mortal life before you can live the life of Christ, which is eternal. Why? You cannot live two lives at once. Get a hold of this. You cannot live two lives at once. You will either live out of your natural life, which is mortal, suffering your migraine headaches, your toothaches, and all the other aches and pains, and sickness and suffering, and you will eventually die. That's why. That life, you can't just push it aside and say, no, I'll just take now the life of Christ. You cannot do that. You can only live one life at a time. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
Lord help us. What was the real reason for the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ? I'm going to tell you, it had nothing to do with sin. It had nothing to do with taking anybody to heaven. It had to do with God saying, I want a new creation people on this earth. I do not want a bunch of people that are mortal trying to be immortal. Are you hearing this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I can't make it any clearer than what I'm trying to do now. Father, help me. Help us, Lord. Help us all. This is so important. This may be the most important message you've ever heard. Not because it's Des Walter. He's got nothing to do with it. This is from the Father. And any one of you could have preached this message if you had heard the voice that I heard. Looking into the face of the Christ, I see that's me. That's me. So, of course, God said that he wanted to raise up a new creation people that have no connection with mortality. no connection. You hear that? That's why there has to be a death. Because you can only live one life at a time. You want the life of God? You better be prepared to die. And if you do not die, you will not live. That's it. So now Jesus Christ, he's on the cross. And we now know that it was not for the forgiveness of sin. We know now that it was not in order to, punish Jesus Christ instead of us and all that other talk that religion has brought to us. He went to the cross as you, not instead of you, but as you. That's how he went to the cross. You, every one of us, was in him. And that's who he took to the cross, you. So now, when he was on that cross, people were probably jeering and laughing and, look, this is the king up there, because he had that sign up, this is Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews. And somebody tried to change it and said, no, put up there that he says that I'm the King of the Jews. No, Pilate said, it's staying the way I put it. He is the king. And he's dying. Well, what was the purpose of the cross then? I mean, was there more to it than just the fact that he was going to die? Well, first of all, let me tell you, Jesus Christ said, no man takes my life from me. I've got power to lay down my life, and I've got power to take it again. And I'm going to tell you something today. Listen to this. Every one of you have the same power today to lay down your life whenever you're ready. Why? Because there are two lives. You can lay down your mortal life. Why? Because you've got Christ in here. He is the author of eternal life.
Yes.
Are you hearing this?
Yes.
You cannot live two lives at once. If you are mortal, forget about being immortal, because you'll never be so. Oh Lord, help us. Help us, Father. Because this is not easy. This is just messing up your whole concept of the cross. It did me when I first began to think about this. It just messed it up altogether. You know what we used to sing when I was younger? There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. And, we thought, oh, man, we used to sing that with great gusto. The wonderful working power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you part of the cross, and perhaps the most important part of the cross, was the blood that came from Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. Why? Turn to Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Because this is important. And this is what Moses said. This is what Moses said. Chapter 17. And verse 11. It says, the life of the flesh is where?
In the blood.
The life of the flesh is in the blood. Why did Jesus go to the cross? To get rid of the blood. That's why he went to the cross. But the blood that came from the veins of Jesus was mortal blood. Did you hear that?
Yes.
It was mortal blood. And he had mortal blood in his veins. Why? Because he had become one with you and me. He was one with us. Exactly. Completely. So when he hung on that cross, he's bleeding from the crown of thorns on his head. He's bleeding from his hands where the nails went through. He was bleeding from his feet where the nail went through. And the blood is dripping down. I have heard such crazy stories about angels coming down at the cross and catching in some sort of a basin the blood of Jesus and taking it back up into the glory and sprinkling it on the Ark of the Covenant. God help us. That blood was mortal blood. It was your blood that he bled on the cross of Calvary, and it fell to the ground from whence it came. But Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. No man. He said, but I've got power to lay it down. Did you know that you have power to lay down your life today and to take it again? Because this is the process in God. To lay down your mortal life. You can't live two lives at once. How many times do I have to repeat this? You can only live one life at a time. Which one are you wanting to live? You want to carry on with your mortal life? Because you've got power to lay that down today if you want to. There on that cross, that is not just Jesus Christ. That's you. That's me. And that blood that's dripping there is every last drop of blood that's in my body. Well, of course, that's enough to kill you anyway, isn't it? If you have an accident on the road somewhere and you cut an artery of the body, one of the main arteries, you have about 2 minutes and you're dead. Unless somebody comes and stops the flow of blood. So he shed his blood, which was mortal blood. What for? To end your mortal life. He knew that would be the end of your mortal life. It had to be. And why was it the blood? Why was it so important? What did he say, Moses? He said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So if we get rid of the blood, you get rid of your mortality. That's the truth. And you don't need your blood anyway if you want to live in the Christ experience. Why? Because your life is in him, his spirit. That is eternal life. You'll never get the headache again. You will never have a pain in your body. You will never have any problems with your body whatsoever. And you will live forever. God help us. That's what the cross is all about. Well, Jesus died about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which was the evening sacrifice for Israel. 3 hours. I did some research about this and I found that people had actually remained alive on the cross for 3 days. Strong, healthy people could last there for 3 days unless something else happened to kill them. So, for those 3 days, 3 hours, Jesus Christ was on the cross. And the soldiers came up because, you see, the next day was a holy day. I'd like you to think it was a Sabbath, but it was a holy day. And Israel had many of those holy days. And so, according to their law, the bodies had to be taken down before sunset. So the soldiers come back up, and they knew that the men on the crosses would not be dead. Well, the two thieves are still thrashing around and cursing up on the cross there. So what do? The soldiers go and break their legs, and the shock kills them. They're dead. But these two soldiers are walking up and they see Jesus and they said, "Hey, he's dead already. He's dead already, yeah? How come?" One of them said, "He must be the Son of God." He knew. But see, he couldn't go back to Pilate where he would have to report and say to Pilate, "The three men on those crosses are all dead." He'd say, "Are you absolutely dead certain?" They'd have to say yes. But they couldn't go back and say, "Funny thing, Your Honor, but you know, Jesus Christ there, he was dead before we got there. We didn't have to break his legs or anything." He would have said, "Come on, you go back and have another look." So what did they do? The soldier takes a spear and he puts it up through the side of Jesus Christ, right into the heart. And then he pulled that spear out, and out came blood and water. Symbol of death. The serum leaves the blood at death. So that was the last drop of blood taken from his body. There's not a drop of blood left in his body. Why? Because he wanted you to enter into a new life where your life is not in your blood, but your life is in the Christ. Now, we've always said, my life is in Christ because he is the life. He said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life." Yes, he is. But it wasn't your life, it was his life that he was living. "No man takes my life from me." It was not the nails that killed Jesus Christ. It was not the beating on his back that he received. It was not the crown of thorns on his head that killed him. It was not even the spear that the soldiers put through into his heart. It was nothing that killed him there. He laid down his life. And I want to tell you, you can do this today yourself. You can lay down your life. Why? Because there's another life you can pick up. It's right there. It's Christ. And that life is eternal. But you can only live one life at a time. You can't live two. So, that body is now empty of blood. And Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." And he said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." So the spirit left his body. Of course, at death, the spirit leaves the body, in our case as well. When that last breath is breathed out, the spirit leaves the body and returns back to God, because it is God. You hear this? It is God. And God cannot remain in a dead body. He is the author of eternal life. Therefore, when he released the Spirit, it returned back to the Father. And the body was taken down off the cross. and that body was your body. Only the difference is now it's dead. It's dead. You're not walking any further now. You walked to the cross, but you didn't walk any further. Now somebody had to carry you into the tomb, because that's part of the deal. You walked, you were carried now into the tomb, and your body was laid on that rock slab. And that was a man called Joseph was kind enough to do that because he loved Jesus. But Nicodemus was there as well, do you know that? He was there as well. And so he helped, and he had brought along some embalming material there so that they could embalm the body. But they just had to leave the body because it was getting late, and they all had to return to their homes because it was a holy day the next day. So they had to be careful. They put the body down. And Pilate, when the soldiers went back to Pilate and said, they're dead, all of them are dead, he said, well, seal the tomb. Put the Roman seal on there, which nobody would be game to even interfere with. So we're in the tomb, but we're dead now. So we don't have any more anything else to do. All you have to do is to die, that's all. Are you prepared to lay down your mortal life today? Have you had enough of your pains and aches and your sickness? Have you had enough of getting old and find you can't do all the things you used to be able to do, and it's getting worse and worse and worse? Are you tired of all of this and saying, Father, I'm ready to quit. I want the life of this Christ that's within me. I want to, from this time, be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. In other words, Des Walter now walks in Christ, not as a mortal man, but I walk as Christ. Now, I do not speak as Des Walter, but I speak as the Christ. Oh Lord, help us. Because when Jesus Christ spoke, people listened. And many wonderful things happen when he speaks. Because when the Spirit speaks, this is reality. Today, beloved, this is God's invitation to you. But I want to tell you just a little more, because this is the last meeting, and I know this is going to be a long DVD or whatever. never mind. Listen, it was dark in that tomb. We're in the darkness now. But see, we had to go through the darkness before the light of God would begin to fill our hearts. We had to go into death before we could even think about that other life, eternal life. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. I really feel I have to finish this today, so I don't leave you hanging on this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says in verse 45, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, but the last Adam was made a life-giving spirit. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, he's earthy. But the second man, that's Christ Jesus, is the Lord from heaven. Praise the Lord. And as is the earthly, such are those that also are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such also are those that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
As we have borne the image of the earthly. Have you ever borne the image of the earthly? I have. Oh, God, help me. So shall we bear the image of the heavenly. But you have to die first. But this is not death where they put you in a box and bury you in the ground. This is a death which is spiritual. And beloved, I'm telling you today, you will never have a better chance to start your life which is eternal than today if you would do business with God. But you can only live one life at a time.
That's right.
Only one.
That's right.
Take your pick. So it says here, now I say, brethren, verse 50, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So while we're in our state of mortality, we cannot become part of the kingdom of God. There are no mortal people in the kingdom of God. There are no sick people in the kingdom of God. And nobody dies in the kingdom of God. So you can't get into the kingdom until you have gone through the death process. And it's a process. It's not literal, but it is nonetheless real, because it's a spiritual experience when we're prepared to lay down this life of Des Walter, your life, whatever it is, to lay it down and say, Father, it's this Christ life. This is the life I want to live. I want to live out of this life, out of the Christ life. I want to be able to hear your voice, Father, just as he did. Because what did he say? I only do what I hear my Father say. I only say what I'm hearing my Father say. I do what I see my Father do. So you see, it's not any longer a choice on my part. This becomes my life. So it says here, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means we're not all going to die, but we're all going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and at the last trumpet. Remember, the trumpet always speaks of the voice of God. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. This is not death as the end, and you put in a box, and your body goes back to the dust. This is a death where it says here, death is swallowed up in victory. That's Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 8. If you're taking notes, you need to put that down somewhere. is Isaiah 25 and verse 8. And the Lord will swallow up death forever. That's the last of death that you will ever see, will be the inside of the tomb. You will never see death again. So what is the end of the story? On the third day, the tomb was empty. And the man in that tomb had walked out there. Do you know who that man was? You say that was Christ Jesus? Yes, sir. But that was you. That was you. That was you walked out of that tomb. Why? Because that resurrection is the resurrection of all mankind. If we all, and I mean all of mankind, died in him, all of mankind walked out of that tomb as a new creation. I want to tell you, Benton will never be the same again if you have walked with me through death into that life which is eternal. May God bless you today. There's a lot more to the story, but that's enough for today. May God bless you. May he open your eyes and the ears of your understanding to begin to see a reality that you cannot live until you die. May God bless you. Could we just stand in prayer? Father, as I lift this people into your presence, Father, it has been your voice that we've been listening to. And today, Father, is the day of the death of a people who have decided within their own heart that they will change, not being part of the earthly anymore, but to be part of the heavenly, that body which is eternal. Father, touch the heart of your people here. And Lord, bring into their understanding the things that could not be expressed today. But for you, speak to the heart of this people those things which are necessary, that they would hear from you and know that they today have walked through the valley of the shadow of death. But we are not fearful of any evil, for the Lord our God has picked us up out of the tomb and has caused us to walk in a new way, in a new experience, in another world, which is the world of the Spirit. Father, bless this people and cause them to become the vessel in your hand now to turn this town upside down, and that, Father, they might go from here fire, the fire of the glory of the Lord, that would begin to consume that which is part of the natural until it becomes also that which is spiritual and lives forever. Father, bless your people, encourage them, and guide them from this moment so that the glory of the Lord shall be seen they may know. Let it be so, Father, according to your word. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.